The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong.
Okay, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here, sitting in for Mr. John Stadtmiller on Thursday, the 31st day of May. Here is just the National Intel Report. We got live call-in here. If you want to have a question or comment here at Republic Broadcasting, give us a call at 800-313-9443. I'm talking about something that is already affecting us. It's already causing us tremendous problems. The refugees from Syria, of course, is only part of it. And you need to be aware of this. You really do. You need to be aware of this. You need to educate yourself. Printing out those 22 pages and reading them. I know for myself, when we finished that second interview with Dr. Zangari, I pulled that paper out and I reread it. The implications of that took on a whole new meaning, because it was no longer a theory. It was no longer a possible future scenario. It was current reality. That's what it was. Here's a second paragraph of this introduction here. The authors say the following, Peter Schwartz and Doug Randall. We have interviewed leading climate change scientists, conducted additional research, and reviewed several iterations of the scenario with these experts. The experts support this project, but caution that the scenario depicted is extreme in two fundamental ways. First, they suggest the occurrences we outline would most likely happen in a few regions rather than on globally. Well, it's the Northern Hemisphere. That's certainly true. Second, they say the magnitude of the event may be considerably smaller. Well, there's some unknowns here, aren't there? There's some unknowns. And the last sentence in this introduction, here it is. We have created a climate change scenario that, although not the most likely, is plausible and would challenge the United States national security in ways that should be considered immediately. Now, the film I mentioned, The Day After Tomorrow, starring Dennis Quaid, it's Hollywood. You need to keep that in mind. It is Hollywood. There is some science in there and some science fiction. The science involves one of these scenarios, several scenarios. We know, the scientists know, that these disruptions have caused ice ages in the past. They know that. It's not guesswork. They know that. In the film, there's a number of teenagers in there, or actors pretending to be teenagers might be more accurate, but these teenagers are on a tour of a museum in New York City, and they come upon a display of a woolly mammoth, and they read the little sign there tells you about the woolly mammoth and how it was found flash frozen in Siberia. Now, here's what happened. The Tsar decided to open up Siberia to the modern age. There was no railroad going there. The only way you could get there was over very burdensome roads that went on for thousands of miles. You know, the United States is pretty big. We got four time zones here in the lower 48. It's 13 time zones across Russia. It's over half the planet is the Russian landmass. So in the later part of the 19th century, they started building a railroad, and they had to dig down to have a firm foundation for these rails, and they started finding these flash-frozen woolly mammoths. Flash-frozen about 3,600 years ago, flash-frozen so fast that some of them didn't even fall to the ground, and they still had in their mouth, they were chewing on semi-tropical plants. The meat was still so fresh when it was thawed out that it could be consumed by humans. In fact, a lot of it was shipped to Paris, where it was sold and consumed in Paris restaurants as a delicacy. That's real science. That really did happen. And that would be a very fast-moving event to flash-freeze an animal that weighed several thousand pounds. It takes a lot of cold really fast. We got a caller on hold here. We got Scott in Arizona. Good afternoon, Scott.
Whoa.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay, the Gulf Stream?
Yes, sir.
Just prior to that quitting was that Horizon oil debacle where they tapped into the oil too deep.
Right, that's what I was talking about, the British Petroleum oil spill, right.
Oh, he did, I didn't hear that part. So, that oil spill that no one went to jail for or paid anything for has basically changed the climate of the Northern Hemisphere.
It did. It caused something to happen in 2010 that probably would have happened anyway, but not for another 5 to 10 years, possibly, if it would have happened.
Right, and then Fukushima, another corporation out of control, and that's, who knows how much pollution that thing's putting out.
Well, the scientists radiation. Do know, Scott, and the Fukushima radiation meltdown, nuclear power plant meltdown, is poisoning the world's oceans. These world's oceans are all connected by various ocean currents, and eventually that poison radiation will spread throughout all the world's oceans. Right now, it's poisoning the Pacific and possibly some others, maybe the Indian Ocean and the South China Sea. But eventually, that radiation will circulate all over the world's the oceans worldwide.
If I'm correct, I believe that most of the food source comes out of the ocean, human food source.
Well, I don't know the percentage. A lot of food for human consumption does come from the oceans, and you're right. I don't know what the percentage is, but it is a lot.
Yeah. Well, I was reading about the Sea of Bengal, India and Burma and that area.
Right.
Bangladesh. I guess that thing's so polluted, it's dead.
Polluted with radiation poisoning?
No. Just pollution coming out of the rivers from the sewer.
Oh,
okay. Overpopulation or
right.
Unsanitary conditions.
Yeah. Well, there's more than a billion people in India. I was reading, Scott, that the government built sanitary latrines for these villages, and the villages refused to use them. In fact, they used the government-built latrines for storage buildings, and they continue to go out in the fields and squat in the fields to relieve themselves.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, that's their culture. I read some interviews with some the people there, and they feel it's healthier to go out and squat in the field than it is to use the government-built latrines.
Well, when I was there, they had dumpsters and all the trash. The dumpster was empty, and the trash was next to it. They didn't throw the trash in the dumpster sitting there.
You were in India Were you living there,
Christmas.
Or a tourist?
2 weeks during Christmas.
Right, right. What part of India were you in?
Southern. We flew into Hyderabad. Went to Khammam, which is 4 hours east. So we're in the southern part of it. In Hyderabad.
Was that your city? Was that your first trip, Scott, to a third world country?
Yes.
Were you shocked to find out that it's not all everything cracked up to be, that in fact, in most public spaces, it smelled like urine?
You gag going past rivers.
Right.
You know, any ditch, it's just... I just like had peppermint oil up my nose, my lip the whole way.
Well, Westerners, people from the United States, Canada, Western Europe, even Eastern Europe, are shocked when they go to third world countries, shocked by the sanitation conditions that exist in most third world countries most of the time in the public domain.
And they just throw whatever. They don't have, like, trash pickup. You just throw it over the fence. So, like, right. Any vacant lot or anything, it's 2, 3, 4 feet of trash, and that's where the pigs and the cows and the dogs all eat.
And the rats. I'd be, well, I pulled a lot of guard duty in Vietnam, and we had to go outside the wire to make sure the perimeter was secure. And the rats were as big as house cats. And I couldn't shoot them because, well, you just can't shoot a 30 caliber rifle without causing all kinds of problems. So I wrote a letter to my parents asking that they mail me a pellet pistol. They never did mail me a pellet pistol. Because those rats, they knew how close you could get before you'd stick them with your bayonet before they ran away. And that wasn't for lack of trying. I mean, I had my bayonet on my M14, and I did sincerely attempt to stick those rats, but they ran just at the right moment not to get stuck by my bayonet.
Well, you know, I'd see people getting water out of the streams and stuff.
And drinking it.
Yeah.
Well, here's what you didn't see, and that was the tremendous death rate from the day they're born until 5 years old. These third world countries, a sizable percentage of infants and babies die from bad water in the first 5 years. If they develop a constitution and a gut flora that can survive all the bacteria they consume on a regular basis, then they live past age 5.
I believe it, yeah. You know, they had public wells, but they're like a hand pump well.
Right.
So, you know, those pumps are probably, 20 feet deep at the most, 30. And all that groundwater, I saw where they were building a bridge. I wouldn't go near that water. It was
no way.
So
no
polluted.
Way.
Yeah,
no way.
And they're, you know, so that's the well water, so they're drinking that.
Well, they do. I watched, where I was stationed in Vietnam, they had these canals that the French engineered going back to the 1860s to turn the Mekong Delta into the richest rice-growing area on the planet. And we were 90 miles from the ocean, but these canals would go in and out with the tides. We were only 1 foot above sea level. And these canals, everybody, they relieved themselves in the canals, and they took their water for drinking, cooking, and cleaning out of the same canals. And I watched this, and I watched it with amazement, wondering how in the world can these people even live drinking this water that, for an American, I would get sick within minutes if I drank that water. But they drank it, and they seem to be doing okay.
They got to have parasites, all kinds of things.
Of course they do. Of course they have parasites. It's part of the culture. Scott, we got another caller on hold here. You got anything else you want to communicate with us?
That's good for now. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call, sir. Next, we go to Kevin in West Virginia. Good evening, Kevin.
Hello, sir. How are you tonight?
Really good. What's in your mind, sir?
I have a couple of things. The first thing I wanted to ask you, have you seen the video with the Nicholas Cruz video that was released last night?
I did not. Now, this was a video that he took of himself before the shooting, I believe, wasn't it?
Yes. I wanted to
tell us what was on him. You watched him, I assume. Tell us what was on these videos.
He was talking about how today was the day of the massacre. Today that he was a lonely person, and today was the day that the world was going to end for everybody, I guess, you know, down in Parkland. But it didn't seem sincere. It almost like he was reading off as a script. I'm not saying it's fake, but something's off with it. If that makes sense.
Well, it does. And this was posted on what medium? And it originally.
I heard it off of InfoWars last
night.
No,
no, that's, no, that's where you heard it. But how did Nicholas Cruz publish this himself? How did he publish it? Was it on Facebook? Oh, you don't know either? Okay. And it's been more than a month. We're just now finding this out. This has been more than a month. If it was on Facebook, I think we would have known it within 24 hours. Maybe he recorded it on some kind of storage medium or a laptop or something that he didn't publish. We don't know that, or do we?
No, we don't know that, and that's why I'm wondering why is it being released now? Maybe that's a question that a lot of people is asking, but I'm curious, why now? Why wasn't this released maybe a day or a couple days after? Or why didn't he? I mean, talking about he wants to kill everybody and end his life, and today is going to be the bloody massacre. Why did the FBI drop the ball? I mean, there's all these questions, and it just seems like there's no answer.
There's lots of questions above and beyond that video that he made. Interaction with the local police, was it 38 times they were called to his residence? Apparently the Florida legislature reduced activities that would have been more serious crimes to lesser crimes that, if they had been kept at the same status, would have caused him to be arrested and prosecuted, possibly convicted as a felon. But that didn't happen because some of these laws had been changed, Kevin.
No, I agree. And I want to share one more story about Second Amendment with you. I go to a group every Wednesday. I meet with a group that I'm blind, and I meet with a bunch of blind individuals, and we got to talking about the Second Amendment. And this lady, God bless her, I love her to death, but I disagree with her 100%, telling me that all semi-automatics need to be in the hands of the military. And I'm like, ma'am, what about if you have an oppressive government? How do you... No government's ever oppressive, is what she told me. And I'm like, what about Hitler? What about Stalin? What about Mao? I mean, and she just wanted to tell me that guns kill people and people don't kill people. And I tried to sit there, and I was like, ma'am, if anybody, you can ban the guns, you can ban the weapons. You can't ban evil. If I already have the intent in my heart to do harm, I'm going to do it no matter what type of weapon I use, or I can use my hands. So what's next? You're going to ban hands and feet? You're going to chop off feet and arms? I mean, I know that seems
absurd. Kevin, let me help you here. Let me give you a helping hand, because you're going to be interacting with this woman some more since you see her once a week. First of all, when I took college debate, one of the first things we learned was the following thing. You cannot successfully use a logical argument against an emotional argument, which is what you were attempting to do. Her argument was emotional. Yours was logical. So you're gonna not have success in your attempt. Now, I don't know what this woman's base of knowledge is. I don't know what yours is. But there's literally many thousands of metalworking shops in the United States that all of them could make primitive firearms, and probably half or more could make rather sophisticated firearms. Now, metalworking, for somebody who's not aware of it, seems like a highly complex, esoteric skill that very few people have. Now, here's what I tell people. Now, you can probably lead this woman down an intellectual path here. And we got a break coming up. We'll continue after the break with this, but we'll get started. First of all, you ask this woman, ma'am, can we agree that firearms come from really big factories with expensive equipment run by highly trained technicians? That's where guns come from. And she'd probably nod her say yes, wouldn't she, Kevin?
Yes, yes.
Okay, we'll continue this after the break. It's going to be a good little discussion here. Stay tuned, everybody.
No reason to get excited. Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
As a listener of RBN, you're surely concerned about being informed and being ready for whatever may come. Please consider the following questionnaire as a soul-jarring wake-up call. If you answer no to more than two of these following questions, you probably aren't going to make it through any major disruption in our country. The questions were compiled by people that have been there. Are you really ready? Do you own your own firearm for the primary defense and protection of you and your loved ones? Have you ever been professionally trained to stand against life-threatening behavior? Have you ever practiced enough to fire 500 rounds during a 2 to 4 day time frame, day and night? Can you load, unload, fire, and clear a jam in total darkness? Have all the adults in your household been professionally trained? Are you, life and death, comfortable with your abilities with pistol, revolver, shotgun, and rifle? Are you aware that everything that you do to prepare for an emergency is a waste of time, money, and energy? If you haven't honed your abilities to their highest level to protect and keep what you have, do you have the repair parts that will most likely be needed for each of your firearm, and do you have the ability to install those parts? Could you completely clean every firearm you own? Are you aware that your body won't go where your mind hasn't been? In other words, without proper training, followed by regular practice, you probably will not win a gunfight. Well, how did you measure up? Take the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to start correcting your deficiencies by receiving your Commander Lifetime Membership with Front Sight Firearms Training Facility. A one-time donation to RBN for $500 will give you a Commander Lifetime Membership at Front Sight as a tremendously huge thank you bonus. See details on RBN's webpage to make it happen. The clock is ticking. You had better be ready before it happens.
All right, we are back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. J.R. Moore here, sitting in for Mr. John Stadtmiller on National Intel Report, Thursday, the 31st day of May. Okay, Kevin, let's continue here. She says her agreement that firearms come from large factories that have expensive equipment run by highly trained technicians. She agrees with you on that. And it's good to get her agreeing, don't you think, Kevin?
I absolutely agree with that,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, now, you tell her the following. World War II, the Philippines had some uninvited Japanese guests, and they weren't selling Toyotas. We had what we called stay-behinds in the Philippines, U.S. Army soldiers who became guerrilla fighters to fight the Japanese. And this American officer who was a stay-behind, he had a need for firearms but didn't have enough firearms. But something he did have access to was common gas pipe, just like we have in any hardware store in the United States, Home Depot, Lowe's, Ace, True Value, all hardware stores all the time have gas pipe. And he determined and figured out a way to take a piece of gas pipe, 1/2 inch diameter, and a second piece of gas pipe big enough to slide the smaller one inside of it. The 1/2 inch diameter is precisely the right size for a 12-gauge shotgun shell. The larger diameter pipe acts as the receiver. The smaller one acts as the barrel and chamber. And all that's necessary is to have the hardware store cut some threads on the larger diameter pipe and screw on a gas pipe cap, and then take a BB and glue it to the inside. That becomes the firing pin, which means for $5, and the hardware store does all the work except gluing in the BB, which anybody can take a little bit of epoxy and glue a BB in the right spot on the cap, you've got what's called a slam-bang shotgun. It's good for one shot. You pull out the barrel, reload it, and you got a second shot. You can have a bag full of those barrels and have 10 or 20 shots if you want to. So I did a demonstration. I was at a group of people. There were 20 people that had 40 college degrees. None of them could change a spark plug with a gun to their head, Kevin. These are all very bright people, very successful in their chosen careers, but they had no mechanical or metalworking skills at all. And they all knew that guns come from large factories with expensive equipment run by highly trained technicians. And if we could find those factories and shut them down, there'd be no more guns. And the woman would probably agree with that, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would.
Now, when you've explained to her that common gas pipe from any hardware store in the United States for less than $5 will manufacture everything you need for the shotgun, except gluing the BB onto the inside of that cap, she'll probably do what these 20 people with 40 college degrees did. There was an audible sigh because I had just destroyed their belief system. Now let's take this a little bit farther. And there's an article at my website. It's titled The National Gun Debate, Gun Control Debate, Chasing Technology, Emotions versus Logic. Now, during the Civil War, we had revolvers that would shoot six shots. And there's a couple of things important there. These were black powder revolvers that are just as dangerous now as they were 150 years ago. They're not even legally firearms. They can be bought and sold like chewing gum. You can buy as many of those six-shot revolvers as you want. In fact, cavalry officers would typically carry six of them into battle, so they would have 36 shots. Now, a criminal today could buy six-shot Civil War revolvers with no background check, no anything, and have 36 shots to commit crime if they chose to. But in addition, a 150-year-old Civil War revolver is more complex, more moving parts, is more expensive to manufacture than a World War II M3 45 caliber submachine gun, which only has three moving parts, and during World War II cost $10 to manufacture. Many of the thousands of machine shops around the United States could easily manufacture an M3 submachine gun, easily. It has three moving parts. Chasing technology is not the answer. Now, I'm 70 years old, Kevin. In 1967, I was 19 years old. I could buy an AR-15 mail order with no background check and have it delivered to my home. That's the way it was. And so what's different? And when you're conducting an investigation, what's different? The AR-15s are no different now than they were in 1966 or 1967. Well, something else must be different. It's the people. The guns aren't any different. They're more difficult to acquire than they were in 1966, but the guns aren't any different. What's different is the people. You want to hold on to the break, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that. We got a break. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hey folks, CBD is the home run hitter for health right now. Why, you ask? Because of what it does for the body. Unfortunately, I can't tell you all about the benefit. You know, there's reasons. Do your due diligence and log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Ancient Life Oil uses organic ingredients and is blended in coconut oil for some of the best benefits. Legal in 50 states and non-psychoactive. Log on to AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Do you worry a lot? Whether you're a college student, busy professional, parent, or grandparent, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in 1 to 2 weeks. Call 1-800-758-8746 or calmandclever.com.
All right, we are back. I really like Mr. Stattmiller's bumper music. It's J.R. Moore here sitting in for Mr. John Stattmiller, National Intel Report on Thursday, the 31st day of May. Kevin, this is I'm really glad you called because this is an important topic that's not going to go away, the Second Amendment. And my article is titled Chasing Technology, Emotions versus Logic. I published this in March of this year. And I begin saying the first thing. Here's my beginning statements. The anti-gun rhetoric we read in here is mostly driven by two things. Number one, emotion. Number two, ignorance. I go on to say that both can be incredibly powerful. One of the things one learns in college debate is that one may not successfully use a logical argument to counter an emotional argument. Then I go on to say that the pro-gun rhetoric, that's you, Kevin, the pro-gun rhetoric is driven by, number one, logic, and number two, knowledge. So we have a quandary. We have your logic, Kevin, versus this woman's emotion. It's a quandary. She needs to understand that the technology to fabricate firearms is centuries old. And we're at a point now where there's one company in particular. It's called Ghost Gunner is the name of the company. Ghost Gunner. They sell a machine. It's about the size of a small aquarium, maybe 2 feet by a foot by 18 inches tall. that you put a plain chunk of steel in there and you have it programmed properly, which is easy to do. You push the go button, and then when it's finished, which takes, I don't know, maybe an hour or so, you've got the receiver for a pistol. Now, the receiver is legally the firearm. All the other parts, the barrel, the slide, the trigger, the springs, and so forth, they all can be bought and sold just like a bag full of nails at your local hardware store. There's no regulation at all on them. And anybody can buy these devices, have a UPS delivered to your door, and you're ready to start fabricating guns just as good as you can get from the factory. Just as good. No difference whatsoever.
My question is, you know, since we're fighting these people, we're not really fighting. I don't want to fight with anybody, but I mean, even to have a good debate with somebody, you know, when you debate or even have a discussion or discourse, that's one thing in this country that I've noticed is these people, like you said, are ruled by emotion, but emotion's not fact. I mean, I understand people get emotional, heartstrings are being pulled here, but like, we are in a spot, I mean, look at our school system. I mean, I'm 33, but I'm still, you know, I had a slow life because of my eyesight. I had some slow starts and things. But look at our school system. We have no skills. There's no manufacturing skills. People are lazy and don't know how to manufacture, especially my people, my age group of people. Everything's entitled. They want entitlements. I mean, and it's like, no, you got to get up and bust your butt and make a living for yourself. That's why this country is great, because it's depending on how hard you work is how hard you're going to climb up the social ladder, the stratification ladder. I mean, but these people, I don't want to fight with them. I feel bad for them because of their ignorance. But,
right.
But how do I mean, these are people, like I said, I have a heart for them. But in the same sense, why should I fight when you want to give up your right? I don't get it. I mean,
right.
I would have
right.
never
well, you can,
thought.
You can do the following with this. There are several different ways you can use logic to help you on here. One approach will not work on everybody. One approach that works on one folk may not work on another. Let's say, for example, would you happen to know this woman's religious affiliation or political affiliation, either one?
She's a complete Democrat.
Okay, well, that's good. Now, ask her the following. What if we had a gun ban where Democrats were prohibited from buying firearms and everybody else could? And you can answer it for her. Oh, I'd be concerned that the people who wanted to hurt Democrats could do so because Democrats couldn't buy guns. And then your response would be, well, you know, that's what you're doing, because the people that want to hurt Democrats would be criminals, and they'll still be buying guns. When you ban guns from everybody, the Democrats will be prohibited from buying guns, and the criminals who want to hurt Democrats won't be prohibited because, well, they're criminals. Or Jewish people. Ask a Jewish person, would you support a law prohibiting Jewish people from buying guns? And he'll say, of course not, Kevin, because people who want to hurt Jewish people would get guns, and the Jewish people wouldn't have guns. And your response is, guess what? That's what will happen when you ban everybody from getting guns. The Jewish people won't have guns, and the people who want to hurt Jewish people will have guns.
Sure, I agree. You brought up one thing that I always ask everybody, and I'm going to ask you the same question. Why is a criminal a criminal?
Because well, you're asking a criminal investigator, why is a criminal a criminal? There is some commonality between most criminals most of the time. First of all, it's generational. People who are criminals have children that become criminals. It's not all the time, but it's most of the time. And I'm speaking as a man who started investigating murders in 1973. So that's one part of it. Another part is substance abuse. Most criminals, most of the time, while they're committing the crime, have been using alcohol or other drugs or in combination of alcohol and drugs. That's a second common denominator. And there's other things that go into it, but those are the two things that are most ubiquitous. children of criminals themselves becoming criminals and substance abuse. That's what I've, as, and I'm speaking as a man who's investigated hundreds and hundreds of crimes, Kevin.
Yeah, I mean, you're hitting on exactly what I was thinking. But I was also thinking a criminal is a criminal because they don't follow the laws. If they have a gun ban, what makes you think so-called criminal is actually going to turn in his firearm? He's not.
Well, there's along those lines, Kevin, there's another article I wrote. It's written as a memorandum from the director of marketing of a drug cartel to the leader of the gun cartel. And what they're doing there in this memorandum is making their plans. It's the very bottom on my right-hand side of my homepage. It says Los Zetas. I made up a fictitious drug cartel. Of the drug cartel making their plans to market alongside the heroin, alongside the cocaine, alongside the marijuana by the bale, to market not the plain old rifle, shotguns, pistols we see at Walmart, but the weapons of war, because, well, that's what they got. Full automatic AK-47s and rocket-propelled grenades. And so they're making their plans. There's pending legislation in U.S. Congress. They're making their plans to meet the market demand. And this is what you can tell this lady. I'm sure she means well. The market will always meet the demand. We have 5,000 years of recorded human history. No matter what the market demands, that demand will be met, whether it's alcohol, heroin, cocaine, firearms. If there's a demand, that market will be met.
Totally agree with you.
Well, totally good luck. The odds of convincing this woman of anything are slim to none, but it doesn't hurt to make a good effort.
No, it don't. I mean, and like I said, God bless her soul. I know she means well. I know she does. I mean, and she's also an immigrant as well. She's also an immigrant. She's Hispanic as well. I mean, so, you know, and she got put on, I call it the Democratic plantation. I mean, every blue city is a complete, you know, crap hole. I mean, look at Baltimore. Look at Illinois. Chicago. I mean, but, you know, we can sit here, but action. We need to come together. I mean, yes, we need to AA with Alcoholics Anonymous. You need to admit there's a problem, and then work on have solutions after you admit it. But we as Americans, we got to admit there's at least a problem here. Not only with the Second Amendment, but look at everything that's going on around. We're in jeopardy of losing our First Amendment. We're in jeopardy of losing the Constitution as a whole. I mean, even the Bill of Rights is too. They're trying to turn the Bill of Rights into a Bill of Privileges. I want to raise a little child in this, but not as a, I mean, you know, I, and the only reason why I'm bringing that is up is because I would like to stick one giant middle finger to the elitist by having a child and saying, you know what, I'm going to keep the world populated with your depopulation agenda and stuff going on here. And my child should have the same rights as what I have. Same rights as what you have, sir. The same rights as your grandchildren or children. I mean, I just want us all to rally behind being Americans. I may disagree with her speech, but like I said, she has the right to speak it. And why can't we rally behind that and put our differences aside and be Americans?
We can't, because George Soros and the mass media is stirring the pot and creating controversy and concurring and creating animosity where there doesn't need to be any.
I agree with you. But that's all for you today, sir. I don't want to take up any more
Kevin,
of your time.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the call,
thank
Kevin.
You.
Thank you, sir. The call number is 800-313-9443. I got politically active again. I had not been so far many, many years, in about 1988, when there was some what I found to be disturbing and alarming anti-gun legislation being proposed in the Missouri State Legislature and at the federal level. I became politically active again, working with the NRA and a group of men and women affiliated with the NRA locally in Metro St. Louis. I met a lot of good people, some of which became lifelong friends in that effort back then. And that was the beginning of us working and lobbying to have concealed carry permits issued in the state of Missouri. It was an effort that went on for years, and there were ups and downs along the way. We saw statewide vote fraud during a state referendum. I got to see that up close and personal, how that worked. But we did finally get concealed carry passed in the state of Missouri. A year ago, January, it would have been January 2016, Missouri went to become a constitutional carry state, where you no longer need a permit to carry concealed in the state of Missouri. And I'm not sure how that's going to work out. So far, it's been okay. As a NRA-certified firearms instructor who taught concealed carry from the get-go, I do have some concerns about people carrying pistols without knowing the law, without knowing the following: when they may and when they may not use deadly force. Now, in my opinion, as an instructor and most of my instructor friends, that's where the rubber meets the road, is when one may and when one may not use deadly force. The difference is a matter of getting a pat on the back from the chief of police and spending the rest of your life in jail. That's the difference. It's a huge, huge difference. John, you did a great job, or young man, you're under arrest. You know, how big a difference is that? I have mixed feelings about people carrying pistols without proper training. I really do have mixed feelings. I've taught hundreds of students these classes, and most people have a kind of sort of knowledge of appropriate use of deadly force. Kind of sort of don't cut it. When you squeeze that trigger and that lead comes out the end of that barrel, you can't call it back. You can't say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that." No, that's as serious as human activity can be, is discharging a firearm to stop a criminal. That's as serious as human activity can get. You need to get it right the first time. There's no second chance. You need to get it right the first time. Now, between the 50 states, the majority of them, or the 50 states, have similar laws about the proper use of deadly force. I haven't reviewed all 50 states, so I can't say for a fact that they're all the same. And without reviewing all 50 or reading the work of an author qualified to say so, I wouldn't say that. But they are similar when you may and when you may not use deadly force. If you carry concealed in your state, you need to know the laws in your state for proper use of deadly force. Obviously, laws about carrying firearms concealed as well. That's right. It would be pretty fundamental, extremely fundamental. So do that. If you want to carry concealing, you can carry concealed. Even if you don't need a permit in your state, get the training anyway, please. Get proper training from a qualified instructor, not from your brother, your father, your uncle, your friend. No, get proper instruction. You know, your buddy or your friend or your father or your brother may be able to teach you safe gun handling and how to get some lead down range without hurting yourself and hit the target you intend to hit. That's a high likelihood of that. But they may or may not know the proper use of deadly force. I would not take that as a given, unless they've had training like I've had as a firearms instructor, NRA certified firearms instructor. I would not take that at all as a given. And you need to know this. This is a very serious matter, carrying a pistol. It's very serious. I've met any number of men and women who don't trust themselves to carry a firearm, and they don't. They have a gut feeling that they may not do the right thing for the right reasons at the right time. And I'm glad that they respect that. That's what they should do. If they don't trust themselves to be armed, they shouldn't be armed. But if you do trust yourself to be armed and you're prepared to defend life with a firearm, yours or somebody else's, You need to have your mind made up before you walk out the door that you're prepared to use deadly force, and need to know when you may and when you may not use deadly force. The anti-gun hysteria in this country gets to be pretty shrill at times. I was visiting my daughter in Washington State when they had this referendum coming up, and I saw the TV ads. They were filled with falsehoods, misleading information, wrong and bad information. They made it look like you could place an order on the internet and have a firearm delivered to your home with no dealer being involved. You can't do that. Not in any of the 50 states. The firearm has to go to a dealer where that transfer is taking place. You can't order guns over the internet. That's insane. But that's what they were trying to convince people of. Here's our last break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Okay, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here sitting in for Mr. John Sentinel on National Intel, Thursday, the 31st day of May. I want to encourage all of you to do the following, to consider the following. Please consider joining Gun Owners of America, GOA, Gun Owners of America. In my opinion, based on my knowledge of these matters, Gun Owners of America is far better at doing the right thing when it comes to supporting the right legislation for the right reasons at the federal and state and local level, far better than the NRA. The NRA is what everybody knows. The NRA does a so-so job. I know for a fact that the NRA continues to support a congressman who voted in favor of the assault weapons high capacity magazine ban in September 1994, Mr. Jim Talent, who went on to become a U.S. Senator. I still don't know why. I don't know how or why that happened. I do know it did happen. I don't know how many other legislators, congressmen, and senators that the NRA continues to support after voting for one of the worst anti-gun pieces of legislation that's ever happened the past 80 years. So the NRA, I'm a life member of the NRA, by the way, but the Gun Owners of America is far better when it comes to standing up for our rights. Another great group that you need to consider looking at is relatively small, not nearly as well known as Gun Owners of America. It's called the Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership. It's a small group. They've done some excellent research, written some excellent books. One of those books is titled Gateway to Tyranny. Their research has found, in their research, the request from Senator Chris Dodd in 1968 to the Library of Congress for an English translation of the 1938 Nazi gun laws. Chris Dodd got, and he was, Chris Dodd, by the way, was part of the Nuremberg criminal trials following World War II, war crime trials. Dodd got that copy from the Library of Congress and proceeded to make slight, when I say slight, almost no changes at all in some pages, slight changes, and that became the Gun Control Act of 1968. So we have right now, in 2018, we have federal law enforcement, primarily the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, enforcing on the streets of America the 1938 Nazi gun laws. That is the 1968 Gun Control Act. Pretty crazy, isn't it? But that's reality. So the JPFO, Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, it's a great group, and they certainly deserve support. We're almost out of time here. We're not going to take any more calls this show. And there we are. Ladies and gentlemen, have a good evening. And my show is 8 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday, Central Time here at Republic Broadcasting. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. May 5th is the last day you will hear this offer on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.